Are you ready to advance your career, hone your skills, or explore new vocational paths without spending thousands of dollars to further your education? Skillfeed.com features over 65,000 video tutorials to keep your creative and technical skills current. Choose from long courses or short tutorials called Skill Snacks, featuring courses on business, web development, education, finance, leadership, photography, and more. Get your 30-day free trial now. Log on to skillfeed.com/radio. That's skillfeed.com/radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for tuning in to the PIF Table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap, also hosting alongside of me, or the same table, I should say, is Sister Dia Sanders and Reverend Cephas, who we'll get to those two wonderful hosts in a minute. Tonight we're having a conversation, if you will, about giving. It's so interesting that what I did, I posted on the PIF page and also on the Blog Talk page that tonight's show was going to be about purposeful giving. And then when I send out the text messages for all of you who are on our text message list, I send it out saying purposeful giving. So Sister Sanders, Brother Feaster, I don't know what we're going to do tonight. I guess we're going to tackle both of them all at one time, or one of them or another. I have no idea how it's going to work. But we just really want to first and foremost say welcome back to all those who have sat at the table with us before. Welcome to all of our first-time new listeners. We hope and pray that you will continue to come back and listen. And we're just going to have an exciting show tonight here at the PRF table. So with that, let me go to my wonderful co-host, or host, I should say, or pardon me, Sister Adia Sanders, calling us all the way in from Kansas. How you doing, sister? I guess she must have fell off. She'll be back in a minute. Brother Feaster, how you doing, sir, all the way from Fayetteville, North Carolina?
I am doing great. I am excited to talk about some giving tonight. Hopefully in the end somebody will give me. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm excited to see what we're going to talk about giving tonight. I think there's a lot to be said and a lot to be understood about this simple subject of giving. So,
Amen. I'm ready, Susan. And you said something really profound. I don't know if you realize it or not. You said it's a simple subject of giving. And I think sometimes because giving has been adulterated, if I can use that word very strongly and intentionally, because the word of giving, people have been hurt by it, it often seems like it's more complicated than what it is. But the truth of the matter is giving is a very simple process. It's an easy process, but there are some foundational truths that have to come with giving. There's some motives behind it. There's a lot of stuff that goes into giving, and everything is not for everybody. So one of the things, Brother Feaster, that I did was I posted on our Facebook page, which is possessions.resources.finances. We hope that you will go on and like us and follow us along there, especially during the week. But I posted a question on there about who is it that you're giving to, or what is it that you're giving to, you know, to whom you give and to what do you give, you know, talking about the different causes. And so that's just one question that is out there for throughout the tonight's show. There will be more questions that will come about. So I want to just let everybody know, you know, here at the PR Table, we're just not another radio show. This is just not another talk show or another ministry, but this is about us being a community of people. As you've already heard, we have Sister Dia in Kansas. I'm here in Alabama. Brother Feaster is in the state of North Carolina. And the people who listen to this show, the people who come and have, as we say, sit down and take a seat at the table, they come from all theological positions, different backgrounds, different economic classes and statuses, different races, different religions. And what we are doing here at the table is we just, through the help of God, just created a community where everybody has a seat at this table, because we know the dialogue and the conversations that we engage in, they're often needed. They're less frequently talked about in a transformative and even in a practical way, but most especially they're not even talked about in a meaningful way where people's lives can be transformed and changed for the better. So with that, we're going to get into tonight's show. Tonight's show, for those who have just tuned in, is about proportional giving, or You may want to say purposeful giving, or you can combine both of them, because I think we'll be hitting on both of those tonight. Brother Feaster, if you remember last week, we were talking about thoughts about giving. That was what our last show was about last week on last Thursday. And I think all we really did last week was just open up the space for anybody who wanted to just talk and express themselves about this subject of giving in a general way. And we appreciate all of the callers and all of those who have listened and all who have listened on the archive and was listening online, because through your comments, through your text messages, what has happened to us, myself, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, we've been motivated to just continue on in this conversation because we realize this is not Sunday morning where you only get 20 minutes to give a preaching message. This is the prayer table. So however long it takes for God to get into people's hearts, to get into your mind, for you to think over things and have an opportunity to not just think about it, but actually to respond back to us or whether to react, then we're going to give that much time which is needed. So, Brother Feaster, with that, before we go into tonight's show, did you have anything as far as a recap that you wanted to bring into the table from our last week's show?
I mean, as we talked earlier, I didn't even realize something that I just want to bring up again, how the motivation of the giving is a big portion of the giving. I think as we dive further into whichever direction this goes, I really believe that the motivation of the giving is really going to expound or poke his head back up. Because in most cases, that's really what the case is. We either don't know why we're giving, or we are so passionate about why we give that we give whatever. Sometimes we give to hurts, or sometimes we just give, you know, more than what the average person's doing because it's a personal situation to us. And I think that's what makes this simple subject, I really believe a lot of passion is going to come out because although this is a simple subject, you know, it is not a subject that people jump into lightly. You know, there's a lot of innermost drive and experiences and circumstances that we've gone through that cause us to give, not to give, how much we give, why we give, and also where we give. So that's kind of the direction that I'm looking forward to seeing how that's going to come out.
Amen to that. And Sister Sanders, she's back with us. How are you doing this evening? Did you have anything that you wanted to recap from last week, or what's your thoughts on tonight's subject as we get ready to go forward?
I just think that when it comes to giving, I've just learned a couple of things. Sometimes in giving, you may not have planned to give, but a situation will come up to where you may not can give a lot or be able to meet the entire need that someone has, but you can definitely give what you're able to give to help to help with the need that they have. And I just think that, you know, in our giving, attitude is just really key, and attitude of what is seen and not seen, talking about, you know, just in our behavior, our body language, and also our heart attitude. Because sometimes we always say that when we don't have stuff, you know, we always say that if we had it, that we would give and we would do this and we would do that. And when the opportunity presents itself, then the attitude of, well, I don't want to give that much comes into play. And I think that when those thoughts and those things begin to creep into our minds, I think that we have to be very quick to acknowledge it and still give out of what we have to give. So there's more that I would like to say, but I want to share it, you know, just maybe talk about it later on in the show and just kind of give a bit of where I'm at for giving and different things like that.
Sounds good. Well, if anybody wants to jump into the conversation, if you're listening, if you're calling in as a listener, just press 1 on your dial pad on your phone. We'll see you light up on the switchboard, and we'll bring you into the conversation. So let's start here. One of the things that you said last week, Brother Feaster, you talked about motive, and I think that's a very good place for us to start. Even though we kind of touched on it and we tap danced around for a little bit last week, so tell us again, or tell us from a different perspective, however God leads you, Talk to us again about this thing about motive when it comes to giving, because I know that was something that was very passionate upon your heart, and I think it's something that we have to realize that as we deal with this subject of giving, it's not about just putting out a bunch of information. It's not about us just talking about certain things. But sometimes we have to go back over some of the same information more than one time. I am an educator, and I promise you, if I never did a recap, if I just went from one subject area to the next, I would never know if somebody's able to grasp hold to it, because we all learn at different levels. So can you bring us back to speed, or however you are led to do it, Brother Feaster, about this thing about motivation, because that's critical to tonight's conversation.
One of the things that got me about the motivation is when we really look at the motivation for the giving, it's really the driving force for why we give or why not, why we don't give. For example, my sister's been a diabetic over 20 years. And in the military, once a year they go around and, you know, they do the combined federal campaign, and you're able to give to any organization inside this book. And every year I give to the American Diabetic Association because my connection is my sister. So the research, I feel like I'm playing a part. You know, I'm not giving her any money for medication. I'm not taking her to the hospital. I'm not taking her to any of her appointments. However, I'm playing a part in the research. So my motivation in that has nothing to do with how much money. For a long time, it was actually out of all the organizations that I would give to, that was the one, number one, that I did more frequently. In a couple of cases, it was the one that I gave the most money. And that was my motivation. So in that, nobody could tell me to cut back. Nobody could tell me that, you know, maybe you need to change up, because I was connected by my sister. So the motivation part is a driving force. The flip of the script, I don't give to the homeless people. I really believe that the people on the side of the road, if they really want something to eat, they say they're hungry, I'll be glad to take you to go get something to eat. And my motivation behind that is I've heard too many stories and met a couple of people that they did not use the money for the intent that they asked for the money. And I feel like if I want to help you, then I want to help you in an area that's going to be beneficial to both of us. If you're taking the money that I'm giving you and you're using it for drugs or, you know, alcohol, and you're an alcoholic, and that's pretty, and that may be the reason why you're on the street, then my motivation is I don't want to feed into your bad habits. So that's what drives me to, you know, give some food as opposed to give some money. You know, so it the motivation, and it also drives me into how much I give. I give more food than I would money any day to a homeless person. Any day to a homeless person, because my motivation is I don't want to feed into the habit. And this could be just me jumping to conclusion and my reading and coming to my own thoughts, and I believe that that's the reason why you're on the streets or a contributing factor. But I don't want to be an enabler to your bad situation. And so that's my motivation for those two aspects of what I'm doing. And there are a lot of people out there that give, and they give a lot based on, you know, their experiences that they've been through, and they really want to ensure that the experience that they went through doesn't happen to somebody else, or when somebody else goes through that experience, that they'll have the resources or they'll have some place that they can go to, an agency, whatever the case may be, so that when it happens to them, that they'll be able to have somewhere to go or somebody to go to. So that motivation part is a major driving force for all that we go through, be it good or bad or indifferent. And in most cases, like I said a couple of times, nobody can talk us out, or if they do, it's really, I don't want to say difficult, but it's not a one-time thing. Like, you could come to me one time and be like, you know what, you're giving too much money. You've done this for 20 years, giving to the American Diabetic Association. Won't you give to somebody else? No, I mean, you got to come and tell me stuff like, you know, they're not using their money for good, the research is not working, blah, blah. I mean, it's got to be a real reason that you give me. You know, they've been in the news a lot lately. There's a whole lot of slander going on. You know, those are the things that change my, that would change my motivation for that particular factor. So as we talk about giving, we really have to talk about the motivation, because if giving is a part of, I mean, if the motivation is a part of giving, as we're talking about the possession, resources, and finances, as we're talking about that and how to manage your money and know where your money is, then we have to talk about why you're giving. It goes back to my passion a couple of months ago, the stewardship aspect of it. So I know I took a lot of time, but that motivational piece is really, in my view, the nugget, the nucleus, the core of the giving. So that's kind of what I have, what I got for that right now.
So one of the things that I believe I heard, and hopefully the listeners heard as well, was there has to be a benefit to our giving. So I would say it like this, not to change it how you were saying it, but how I say it is, giving should be two things. And when I say this, I'm not saying that this is the only two things that goes hand in hand with giving, but this is just one of the many points about giving. Giving should be beneficial, and it's oftentimes to help somebody's needs versus their wants. So it should be beneficial, and it should also provide purpose. And when I think about purpose, I'm thinking about something that is going to produce or promote a favorable result. You said, Brother Feaster, that you did not want to be an enabler. You did not want to provide to a cause that was not going to be beneficial. And so what that causes me and maybe others to think about is that question that I posed at the beginning of the show: to whom are you giving and to what are you giving? There has to be, in my opinion, some type of conversation that you have with yourself or with your significant other or with your family when you're going to make decisions, especially giving things that are of a significant nature. If you don't do that and the money gets used for, as you say, Brother Feaster, for something that is not beneficial, for something that does not have purpose, then that attitude of I'm not going to give can easily start to settle in. And I think with giving, it is very important that we are in a position or we have postured ourselves to where our heart has not been hardened, and we don't give when those, what you said, Brother Feaster, or matter of fact, it was Sister Sanders, when those opportunities arise. Because if you don't give when those opportunities arise because your heart is hard, then now that's something else that you and God have to deal with. But how detrimental could that have been to the person that was actually in need? So I'm glad you brought that up, Sister Sanders. Whenever you want to jump in, you know, I'll go until you decide you want to jump in. But if you can't determine those things, what if time doesn't permit, Brother Feaster or Sister Sanders, for you to actually go through that process? You said that you would go in and take somebody who's wanting some money for food, and you would take them. But what about if you don't have the time to go and take them? Does that opportunity get missed because you don't have the time, or do you sacrifice your time to do it when you really know, you know what, I really got 15 minutes to get there and I'm about 12 minutes away? Or do you just give the money and pray that God does what only God can do, which is give that individual the heart to do the right thing by what you gave them?
Well, I would say this, and that's why I said our attitude, and I like what Feaster said about the motivation behind why we're giving, because with that becomes, when you look at motivation, you're looking at what is your motive. And so when you look at what your motive is when you're giving, what's the driving force behind your motivation, which in turn is really your motive of why you gave. And I say that because I am kind of hard when it comes to giving to people that's on the side of the street with their sign that they need food and all of that stuff. I really am, because of growing up in New Haven, and as a little kid, remember this lady used to beg me for money. The word on the street was that she was addicted to drugs. And so I learned at an early age, like, I'm not giving this lady money so that she can go out there and buy crack or cocaine. And here I am, you know, I'm a little kid. I want to go to the store and go buy me a bag of chips. I don't want to give to her cause because, one, it was hurting her. So I would give her, like, a dime because I knew, at least in my head, I thought I knew that you surely can't buy drugs with a dime. I mean, I don't know if that's true now, probably not in the 21st century with our economic times that we live in, but things like that, you know, kind of shaped my motive and my intent and my reason and my attitude about why I gave or why I am not so quick to give to people that have signs that are on the side of the street. My husband, on the other hand, he done gave people $20, $5, $10, and he does it with no problem. He said because even if they don't do what they say they're going to do, he know he's done what God has called and asked of him to do.
Interesting.
Am I right or am I wrong? Is he right or is he wrong? I don't know. But I am not there. And that is something that I have prayed to God about. And I have found that when God has moved on my heart to give, I give. And I don't question God. I don't bat an eye. I don't think any more about it. But I just wanted to show that example just to show two different people and two different dynamics and two different experiences. He didn't grow up with things like that, whereas I did, which helped to shape how I looked at giving to people that were less fortunate to me. And only by the grace of God am I able, because I'm still processing this, y'all, because I'm not there yet, am I able to say, okay, God, I hear you telling me to give. I'm going to give. I have turned my car around to give to people or to give them a ride because I know that they did not have transportation as God led me. But it has been in those instances that I've just been like, you know what, God, I thank you that I was able to hear from you and not to keep going out of my own selfish desire because I didn't want to stop or I didn't want to give.
Right.
So I just think that it's good that we're able to identify in our giving where we are, that we're aware of where we are, because sometimes in giving, you want to be a stingy giver. Sometimes in your giving, you may have said in your heart, well, I'm going to give, if somebody has a need, not even knowing what the need is, if it's monetarily, I'm going to give this person $100. But then when the reality of the need comes into play, you begin to say, well, I don't really know if I want to give them $100. Maybe $75 might be enough. But your heart and your motive and your attitude and your intent was to give $100. So what changes from the thought to reality? I think it is when you really have to relinquish whatever it is that you're holding on to, because now what comes into your mind is, well, what if something happens to me? Or what if I got a need? Or what if this happens? Instead of saying, this is what I said I was going to do if somebody had a need, and just go ahead and doing it and not doubting or second-guessing or giving stingily. And I don't know if that's a word, but...
We know what you mean. Well, you know what? I was going to respond to it, but we have a couple of callers that are waiting to jump in and have a seat at the table. So we're going to go, I believe, to Merlin, calling with the last four, 2143. Welcome to the PRF table. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
We are doing well. We are doing well. Who do we have with us?
This is Tamika Bell again, calling in again.
All right. We just wanted to hear you say, I didn't want to put your name out there. You know. What's on your mind? How you want to contribute to this conversation today?
As you were talking about giving, and I've just been kind of listening, and wasn't sure if I had really anything to really contribute, but when both I call Warren Chris. I don't call him Warren. So I may say Chris, but that's who I mean. When him and the woman were talking, I thought about an experience I had a few weeks ago. I was leaving Walmart and I saw one of the men on the road with the sign and everything. And I don't know what compelled me or what was going on, but something just said, give. And I had those thoughts like, oh, what is he going to do with this? What if he does this and this? But the feeling was so strong, so all I said was, okay, I know in my heart that I'm doing something. Whatever they decide to do with that, that is between them and their higher power, whatever they believe in. That I don't have anything to do with it, but I felt like I gave with my heart. And it was actually, it was good, and it's something I've never experienced before, so I had no idea where that came from. And then it just kind of started this thing about thinking about people who are there, and really how sometimes I notice how I judge people who on signs like, oh, they must have didn't do this right, or they did this, and, you know. And as a counselor, that's one of the things about always self-awareness. Where are these biases and prejudices coming from? Like, where is this coming from? I don't know their situation or how they got where. I have no idea what their life story is, nor does people know how I got where I am and my challenges and struggles. And they could have, you know, misconceptions of me as well. So it just kind of opened this thing and really kind of made me more aware of my judgments, whether they're right or wrong, either way. So another thing that I've kind of started doing is that I'm trying to start to have better relationships with my nieces and nephews. So I was out and saw that school supplies were on sale. So I just sent my nieces and nephews, all of them, like just a box of like school supplies and was like, hey, you know, here's something for school. Let me know if you need anything else. And so it was just like this whole beginning act of giving just kind of elicit like, oh, this is nice. I'm actually quite glad to actually be at a place where I can do it, because before I never really was. I mean, as a college student, you know, I was asking people, hey, can you do this for me? I don't have the funds. So it just feels really nice to be able to give that. And that's what motivates me to give to others, is that I remember struggling as a college student. I remember even struggling trying to make ends meet when I was, you know, starting out working and, you know, starting paying off those student loans and everything like that. I remember what that experience was like and how I did have people in my family who would send me, you know, send me a card, I'm thinking of you, $20, or, you know, some encouraging words or anything like that, and just how much that meant to me. So that's kind of what's been going on in my mind as this conversation has been going on. So I thought I would call in to share.
All right. Well, we thank you so much for sharing, and you don't have to get up from the table. You can stay there the whole rest of the show. So we thank you so much, and we look forward to hearing from you again. We have another caller. I'm bringing them on right now. Caller calling from the last four of 9246. Welcome to the PRF table.
Well, thank you, and good evening to everybody.
Good evening. How you doing, sir?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Oh, we're well.
That's good. That's, I mean, my particular point of view is just kind of tying in a couple things that have already been said. I mean, the motivation really does play a big role. And my motivation has kind of, I don't know if matured is the best way to say it. I will definitely say changed over time, because I've had a couple experiences, as have been illustrated this evening. You know, there was a person that was standing out and asking for some money, and I said, well, come on into the store and I'll buy you some food. And they said, you know what, really, I wanted to buy beer. And I've also had the experience to where I was the one that was homeless and I was the one that was begging for the food. I've had the experience to where someone was begging for a little money, and I gave them the actual money, and they walked in the store behind me, and I witnessed them buy the food. So, I mean, there's been a whole lot of scenarios. And as my sister before me, my motivation in giving now is purely being grateful that I am able to give. It's not necessarily what they're going to do. And certainly I don't want to promote or encourage anyone to do anything that will be harmful to themselves. But what comes to my mind is the parable of the sower. Apparently, it was obvious the various type of grounds that were there. But the sower did not just focus in on the good ground. He just threw the seed out. And I believe that makes a crucial point. Of course, them being, you know, agriculturally mined and knowing what kind of ground it was, he probably knew the probability of whether or not something would grow there. But the fact that he was a sower made him inclined to try. And that's my particular motivation. The fact that I am in a position to be of help to someone, makes me inclined to give. Now, if you want to use that to harm yourself because of the intentions that I've given it, what could have been poison could be a positive thing.
Mm, good point.
Because the grounds were the grounds were obvious because they were named. It was this type of ground, it was that type of ground, so it was seen, it wasn't hidden, there was no hidden agenda. It was very obvious what type of ground it was, but each one of those types of ground received seed. So that is my motivation. Thank you for allowing me to share my mind this evening.
All right, thank you, brother, and as always, we welcome you back to the PR table at any time. All right, appreciate you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. We have another caller. The phone line has just been lighting up, and we praise God for that. We have another caller that's calling in with the last four of 0155. Welcome to the PRF table.
Hi, this is Kiana Fisa calling in again. How are you all?
I'm good. I'm good. We got a family reunion going on tonight.
Well, this is an interesting topic because Brother Fisa and I were having a conversation a couple of days ago about the story of the myth about the butterfly, about how there was a butterfly trying to get out of the cocoon, and the person thought they were helping the butterfly by opening up the cocoon, but actually the butterfly ended up dying because a part of the butterfly's growth process is learning how to get out of the cocoon. And so I thought about that as I thought about giving, thinking to myself, my motivation, I don't want to harm people in my perception of helping them. And so fast forward just a few days ago, I have my appreciation, and I told her she wanted to, you know, started to feel almost uncomfortable because she wanted to, she didn't know how to accept someone giving something without any strings attached. And I told her that
in exchange for everything you give to me, read my mind and make me feel just fine. When I think my peace of mind is out of reach, the scales are sometimes unbalanced, and you bear the weight of all that has to be. I hope you see that you can lean on me, and together we can come to stormy seas. When love is strong and so unselfish, and I tell you now that I made a vow, I'm giving you the best that I've got, baby. Yes, I tell you now that I made a vow. I tell you no, I'm giving you the best.
Well, not exactly sure what happened, but we had a little technical difficulty just happen. And if you're still on with us, we're still here. Hopefully you enjoyed the song. I am a fan of Anita Baker. So, we're going to go ahead. Kiana, are you still on the line?
Yes.
Yeah, we want you to go ahead and finish your comments.
Okay, so the moral story, the direction I was going in is that the other piece of giving besides motivation is also sometimes helping people be good recipients. I think sometimes when people have been just beaten down and burdened by their circumstances, sometimes people don't know how to receive. So in helping a friend recently, I basically said to her, I'm giving this to you because I'm paying it forward. You know, there have been a lot of people who've done a lot of things for me that they did not have to do, but because things had been done for them, they were paying it forward. And she was so worried about paying it back. And I want to do this, and I said, the best thing you can give back to me for helping you out is to do that for someone else when you become able. And so I thought about that story about the butterfly and always remembering in giving, I want to give so that I can be helpful or be a blessing to someone and not help them remain standing still where they are. And sometimes a part of giving is helping people understand what giving really is and, you know, the expectation behind it, which is receive it and pay it forward someday. So that was only my point.
Right, and we thank you for your comments. As always, you are definitely welcome to pull up a table at the table anytime. One of the things that you said that I really liked is about being the enabler and also the butterfly story. I'm very fond of that butterfly story. I say it all the time. A lot of times what we don't understand and what we don't know, and it could be our reason to or not to, but we don't really understand or don't know what is the motive behind the person that we're giving. So it sometimes that leads us into exactly, do we have a purpose for understanding or even knowing the motivation behind the person that we're giving to? In some cases, what's going to happen is, you know, we're going to make judgment calls. When my sister came on, she said she was being very critical of, you know, when she sees these people and what she's thinking. And so that was her motivation to or not to whenever she had the desire to give, and it was becoming a problem. So that motivation, you know, and I asked the question, and if any caller want to come in, and if you want to say something, you know, is there a responsibility of me as the giver to understand what the receiver is going to do with the money? Adia, would you want to jump in on that?
I would say no, and the reason why is because if that person truly has a need, then they're going to do the right thing. And one of the things that Nate has said several shows ago is that just like some people don't plan to get in debt, and maybe they had savings and something happened, maybe they helped a family member, and so for whatever the reason is, they lost their job, and they don't have the savings, is it that person's fault that they're now in debt? So I look at it the same way. If I give to somebody and my heart is in the right place and I really truly want to be a blessing to somebody, then it is on them to do the right thing. And I look at it as kind of like a promise. The promise is never for the person that's making the promise. It's not, well, let me back up. It's not the, if I make a promise to someone, the recipient has to just, there's no responsibility for them because I'm
right.
The one that said I was going to do X, Y, and Z. And I look at it as the same thing as giving. If I say that I'm going to give to somebody, then whatever that person decides to do, whether or not if they do the right, wrong, or indifferent thing, then I've done what I was supposed to do. And so I just really think that if you give and you know that why you were given, then whatever that person decides to do, if it's the right or wrong thing, then they're going to have to be the one that has to live with that because you've done all that you were. You've pretty much done what you were supposed to do. And the example that I can use for that is I remember some years ago I was in a car accident. Totaled my car out, And I had been praying, like, God, you know, I just need this money so I can pay off some bills. Well, of course, I did not do that. And I kicked myself after that. But as the recipient of what had been given to me, it was on me to do what I said what I was going to do with it. And because I didn't do what I said that I was going to do with it, I was still back in the same predicament. There was no change to my situation. I could not blame anybody but Adia. So if someone is giving to you and you decide not to do the right thing, then you are the person who has to suffer the consequences for not doing what you said you were going to do. And that goes back to integrity, to honesty, to being trustworthy, to if you can be loyal. And so the person will be able to see, and they may never find out, but I really believe that there's going to be something that will come about to say, wait a minute, I gave you money for your life, and I heard that you asked auntie or whatever that you needed money for your life. What happened? And so I think that you found out. So I say if you give, you've done what you were supposed to do. You don't have to walk, hold nobody's hand, to make sure that they're going to do what they're supposed to do. And it really just boils down to just walking in integrity. And that doesn't even take you, you don't even have to know who Jesus is as your personal Savior. You just have a conscience to know the difference between right and wrong. And if it's truly a need, you're going to take care of it.
That's right. Well, we do have a caller that's been waiting patiently, and we thank the caller that's been holding on. So, caller, you're calling from the last four, 4961. Are you still with us? All right. Well, you know what? One of the things that I've heard a lot of you saying this evening was you've been dealing with what we've talked about in previous shows, which was needs versus wants. As I'm listening to all of you communicate, that's something that keeps coming up, needs versus wants. And we have another caller, so I'll hold that thought because the phone lines have been blowing up tonight. Sorry about that technical difficulty. I couldn't hear you, anybody on my end. But let's get to this next caller calling from the last four of 5656 as we continue into this discussion tonight about proportional and purposeful giving. Caller, you're here. Caller, the last four of 5656. All right, we'll come back to him. We just want to let everybody know, if you press 1 on your dial pad, that will light you up on the switchboard, and that lets us know that you want to join into the conversation. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you because it's not about myself, Brother Feast, and Sister Sanders having all of the conversation, but it's about all the callers that you've been hearing and everybody sharing their experiences and what God has placed on their heart. You know, one of the things that I think about, Brother Feast and Sister Sanders, is I think about, when I think about needs versus want, we all have different experiences, which causes us to believe or to come into our minds what is a need. And I think sometimes my determination of what is a need, I place that on other people. My determination about what a want is, I place that on other people. So I think there's a caution. I'm going to make that a suggestion to everybody that's listening. There's a caution there because of our experiences that we don't be judgmental when we think about what my individual needs are and what your individual needs are, because you may definitely truly have a need for it, but sometimes I may not see it. And the question is, do I have to see it for it to really be a true and legitimate need? So it goes back to what everybody's been saying. It talks about, we're talking about motives. We're talking about opportunities for giving. So let's just continue on the conversation. Caller from the last four, 5656. Welcome to the PRF table.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Good evening. We can hear
yes.
you good.
Okay, good evening. This is Marianne speaking. I had an experience, and this was with a family that, I mean, they were really, really what you would call poverty stricken. They had children, and it was just so much of a need there. And so myself, I would, you know, give to them. You know what I'm saying? I had things, and I would just give to them. And one day, I don't know, this went on for a while, and then one day, I don't know, and I have to say this was the Lord showed me, because when I went up to their home, I mean, I was in their home, you know, and then the lady was cleaning up and everything, and she told me to come on through, so I came through, and then I looked, and I happened to glance in the backyard, but it was like a ditch back there, and I saw everything that I had given her over a long period of time in the ditch. And I was, you know, it didn't dawn on me, you know, the kids still don't have this, and you know what you give, but you know, I give, and I said, I don't really think about it. And so, and I just, I was like, I was really upset about it. But then I, you know, I never said anything to the mother about it. But then I began to see, because I couldn't understand why people, all the people wouldn't, you know, I said, how could people see this need and not help? Did not know that now I understand why nobody helps this particular family. I mean, it was just amazing. Everything was in the ditch. And so, just like you said, you know, it makes you not want to give, but the bottom line is that, oh, why did I give? I gave because the children needed. I gave because mama needed, you know, and the mother, the children needed, and I gave from my heart. So that's why I still give now. And as one of the sisters was saying, God, I'm moved to give, and whatever that once I give it, that's it. You know, I know I've done what God has called me to do. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much. We appreciate your call, caller. You know, one of the things that I think about in respect to needs versus wants is that there's different types of needs out there. There's financial needs, there's physical needs, there's emotional needs. And sometimes what we consider a need, again, from our perspective, may not be beneficial to the other person. So I think having conversation is a good way to be able to try to use discernment to see if this is something or someone that you're supposed to give to, because we don't want people giving out of guilt because somebody looks like they need something. So I'll digress one more time, and we have a caller that's waiting on the line, calling from the last four of 2023. Welcome to the PRF table.
Hello, everybody.
Good evening. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We are well. We are well. What's on your mind with us this evening?
Well, I just wanted to offer the saying that if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. If you teach him to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. So what we have to be careful of is that we're not just satisfying the superficial need in giving, or satisfying our need to our guilt, like you just said, to meet the superficial need. Because if somebody is saying that they're hungry, and we take them, and not to step on Brother Feaster's analogy, but if they say they're hungry, and you take them to get some food, which I totally agree with, versus giving them the money, that's still not the root cause of him. That's not meeting the root cause of him not being able to feed himself. So if you're going to take the time out to take him to get something to eat, you need to ask the question. I mean, strike up a conversation, witness to him, find out what what's going on in his life or her life. And versus giving somebody an outfit or a shirt, you know, do a little digging. Because if you're truly going to give, especially as a Christian, if you're going to give, if you're trying to be Christ-like, you want to get to the root cause. You want to affect that person for a lifetime, not just for that moment. So you need to find out what the root cause of the problem is, and you want to give to that need and not the superficial need. Not the immediate. It may be immediate that they need a meal, and that's fine. You can give them a meal, but we still need to investigate the deeper cause and why they're in the situation, and then direct them if possible, or mentor them if possible, or maybe the ministry testimony, or mentioning Jesus, giving in the name of Jesus, that may strike a chord or plant a seed or, you know, to get them to the place they need to be to solve the problem. So instead of giving out of guilt, like I said, to you know, be able to pat ourselves on the back because we, you know, and then not judging as well, not judging,
right.
but trying to find the true core of the issue and then meet them at that need.
You know, that sounds like, thank you, caller. We appreciate your comments. To me, what that sounds like is Jesus. What it sounds like, what the caller was just saying when she said meet them, that is what Jesus did. Jesus met people where they were, and he dealt with whatever it is or whatever it was that they had a need. Person was blind, he dealt with that. Person was lame, he dealt with that. Sister at the well, he dealt with her issue with the husband. So we have to be thinking more in lines of giving outside of the financial piece. If you've been with us since last year when we first got started on the PRF table, one of the things that I've talked about, I think Brother Feaster, correct me if I'm wrong, it was probably about 6 weeks before we even touched on money. And we started off, I think, talking about needs and wants as well, because it's, let me just shift it a little bit to another area. If we get it out of our minds, those of us who have it in our minds, that giving is about finances, then we're missing the mark.
Right.
Let me go from a Christian perspective briefly. When Jesus gave of himself and he died on the cross for my sins and your sins and for everybody else's sins, whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not, that did not have anything to do with finances. He gave of himself. So when we look at giving, I think it's important for us to start trying to teach, and I heard that come up a little bit tonight as well. Can we think about it from the perspective of not in a monetary perspective, even though that is good? I mean, money makes the world go round. We already know that. But your time is just as equally important or sometimes more important than the money. I don't know if it was your cousin or your sister, Brother Feaster, that talked about having a desire to have a better relationship with their nieces and nephews. So she took the money. She didn't send a card with some money in it. She actually gave something that they were able to use that was beneficial for their schooling. I'm having a lot of conversations. I've been having a lot of conversations with a lot of different individuals, and so much has been coming up about money. And I think about, let me go to a scripture. In the book of Luke, it talked about, for those of you who are father, if somebody asked for a fish, would you give them a snake? If they asked for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? We got to give people the things that they need, not what it is that we think that they need. Sometimes all that people need is us to give of ourselves. When somebody's having a bad day, maybe what I can give to them is not a set of movie tickets for them to go and relax, but maybe all I need to do is listen to them. Referee, I'm done.
I was sitting there listening to you and to the callers, and I agree with her, what she said. You have to find out what the need is. I agree with you. And one of the things that I try to do is, majority of times, look at me crazy, call me crazy, and I've been called crazy. The last time I did this, I literally took the lady to the store and talked to her as we were going to the store and going through the drive-thru and find out exactly what's going on. And being that one of my current job in the military is I know a lot of resources, I know a lot of places, and that's what I try to do, make sure that I give them the resources. As I was sitting here listening, I was thinking about the reason why I'm like this is because my father, years ago, when I graduated high school, went up there to spend the summer with him, and at this was in the early 90s, and I graduated in 1990. We'll put that out there, and that's when crack was an epidemic. I mean, crack was terrorizing, and I went to D.C. for the summer. And being that I'm from an old small country town, I didn't know the big effects of drugs, and seeing that firsthand for a whole summer, and my father actually worked for a program that helped rehabilitate drug addicts that was trying to get off drugs and get back into the work field. And I watched him do this, and I remember one particular night the guy came to him and asked for money like it happened every other night, and Pop would do the same thing. He would offer them assistance. Hey, if you really want to change, then here's my car, here's my number, come see me. And not only will I see, you know, not only will you eat one time, but you'll be able to get a job and eat for a while. And I think that was the motivation why I do the things that I do, because I've seen people not show up. He would do this regularly, and I've seen people not show up. And I think that was a driving force for me. If you really want it, are you going to really find a way? Now, granted, you know, chemical state, sometimes you're not thinking in your right mind. You may have the desire, but, you know, the will may not come, or the drugs may be a little stronger. But and another thing I hear is, and I find this very interesting, is finding the need. Exactly what is the need? And a lot of cases, we're making a judgment call at the spur of the moment based on all the things that we see. We're making a judgment call. And we're saying, because this person is not smelling too well, because this person is living in a box, because this person smells like alcohol, because this person has dirty nails, and, you know, mm-hmm. they smell like alcohol. Obviously, that's the reason why they're homeless. But that may not be the case. The homelessness may have came, and then the alcohol may have came later as a coping mechanism. You know, and so what we're doing in these cases is we're being unfair to that person. And like the caller said, and like you're saying, JR, there has to be a dialogue. We have to. I mean, JR, you haven't said this in a long time, and it really struck me when you said it. But you have to have the courage to care. You asked earlier, if I didn't have the time, would I do it? There have been plenty of times where I did have the time, and I did it. I don't think there's been a time. Matter of fact, there was a time where we went through the Chick-fil-A line. I ain't trying to advertise, but that's where we went, to get something to eat. And this lady walked up to the car, me and my entire family, to the car, and asked us for something to eat. She said, I just want something to eat. I'm homeless, and I'm hungry. I just want something to eat. And I was like, okay. She said, don't matter what you give us, anything. Well, she walks off, and she goes to the next store, which was a cell phone store. And I was like, this lady don't want no food. She over there trying to get her cell phone. And my family started laughing. They was like, this lady homeless, and you cracking jokes. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I'm going to give her, if she comes back to this car, that means she really wants it. And I will give her what I order for myself, and I'll go home and grab something to eat or either go hungry. And as we drove through the line and got to the other side of the line, and we ordered our food, and as we were driving off, she walks back up. And as she's walking up, I reach in my bag, I grab everything that I ordered for myself, and I gave it to her. I really think that we really need to take the time to have the courage to care. If you don't feel comfortable helping the person on the street, or even, so we keep saying the person on the street, but there are people in the next cubicle that have a need. There are people at the stoplight that have a need in the car next with us that have a need. There are people that we encounter. There's a lady that I go and talk to every day. A lot when I go to Walmart, come to find out she had a traumatic situation happening in her family. But I would not have known that if I hadn't have spoke to her and asked her how she was doing and how you like and built a, you know, somewhat a social relationship. But, you know, we have to have that courage to care, to step out of the box. And if you don't feel comfortable helping those in need directly, then find an agency. Find some type of organization where you can be and assistant to the people. Like I said, I don't take my sister to her medical appointment. I don't buy her no medication, but I give to the American Diabetic Association every year. So if you don't want to do it directly, find some way to do it indirectly. Because the bottom line is, we can say what we want to say about everybody else in need, but I guarantee you when you're the one in need, you don't care who helps you or why they help you, you want the need. You don't want the 50 million questions on why I need this money or why I need this medication or why I need to get to the store or whatever the case may be. You want somebody to come and cater to your need because that's all you're thinking about. So we really got to, you know, Matter of fact, when my cousin got on the phone, that's what he said. He said he's been on both sides where he had the money to give and he was the one that needed the money to give. And that's one of his motivations for why he gives. You know, we need to look at the bottom line, and I'm going to stop after this. So I'm getting excited, and I done stood up and about to walk around and everything. I'm going to get a drink of water after this. But the bottom here's the bottom line. Everything we're going to say is going to sum up in this statement right here. That is a human being.
There you go.
I'm going to get Mr. Ward. We are.
Yeah, that's it. You said that is a human being, and as you were talking, what came to mind about 2 minutes ago was it's part of the human condition. We're always on a two-way street. I don't care who you are. I don't care how paid you are. I don't care how many figures you have inside of your salary that you earn every year. You are always going to be in a receiving mode, and you're always going to be in a giving mode. What you do about the giving part is really up to you, but none of us in this world can do anything unless somebody gives it. I'm calling. I'm coming to you. Last 4-3-2-0-1. But I got to just get this out. We have so many people that have so many different needs that are not being met because other people have all these different quirks within them, and I have some of them within me too. So I'm not immune to this. They don't want to help people because they don't recognize that this is a thing about a human condition. Somebody who is in lack has a reason why they're in lack. If you don't care enough about the person, why give to them? To make yourself feel good? Doesn't work. You're not getting a check mark by God, whether you believe in him or not. I'm done. Call the last four. The phone lines are bringing up. 3201, you're welcome to the PRF table. How you doing this evening?
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're all right.
I just wanted to comment on the fact, I know you're saying about giving time, and I've done that, but I know that on a monetary level that there was a time where I was getting unemployment, and I was waiting for my unemployment to come in, and then I got like this bulk sum of money, and I can remember riding to Walmart. And I can remember seeing this homeless lady, just steady asking for money. People just passing her by, and she was really looked down on her luck. And I just felt something pulling in me to say, hey, you know, give something to her. And
yeah,
like I said, at the time, Luz, I gave like a couple of dollars. So I had at the time I had the funds, so I gave her $20. And when I gave her the $20, she was so ecstatic about the amount that I had given her. She said, oh, God bless you. She's like, I would have been here all day trying to get this money. And on another note, I don't know, you know, just me, you know, in situations like that where it came a time where around Christmas time, we had a layaway at Kmart. Once again, like Mr. Feast, I'm not advertising, but we had a layaway at Kmart, and we were getting ready to get it out, and before we went to go get it, we got a phone call from Walmart, and it was like, a Secret Santa paid your layaway.
And wow.
I mean, and this is not like, you know, this is almost like a $200-$300 layaway. Like, somebody just came and walked into the Kmart and said, I want all the layaway slips that haven't been paid for, and I'm paying the layaways. And,
wow,
you know, there have been many instances, many different situations where my family has been blessed like that, to where we may have been kind of, not in a sense struggling, but, you know, we say, hey, we're going to pay our tithes, or we're going to give our time in the church, or do whatever. And God has blessed us, if not equally, but abundantly above that.
Yeah.
So I've seen it firsthand, and it's great what the Lord does. When you bless people, he will bless you in return.
That's right.
Especially when you're obedient in the fact that he tells you to bless that person. If you're not obedient in that, then, hey.
I'm with you. You know, being obedient, I think this is the first time that we've actually heard that word this evening, caller, and we appreciate your call. The fact of obedience with giving is probably a whole other subject where we can find scripture after scripture about being obedient to giving. I think is very, very critical. I think it's very, very key. And I think it also is something that falls in line with the motive. Why are you giving? Because God just told me to give. Even though it may look like that individual may do something wrong, which is a judgment all within itself, but I'm still going to do because God told me to do it. You just can't beat it. So let me just go to the next caller. Y'all are making this real easy for Brother Dunlap tonight, I promise you. Caller with the last four of 1959. Welcome to the PRF table.
Yeah, thanks, Brother Nate. I mean, I have two observations. One is, you know, there's the micro, which is the stories that we've been hearing about, just individuals choosing to give, whether it's time or talent or support. I worked at a shelter for a year, and the women would tell me, hey, they'd sit out there and they'd get the money, and they had drug addiction and they would, an alcohol addiction, they would take that money and they would go use it for drug and alcohol addiction. So I think the willingness to go a half a step further, as many have suggested, and either purchasing the meal or finding the right program or finding the right support or just being an ear to what's really going on is so important to the humanity and the recovery and of those who need that and oftentimes are asking for support. I think the second point is the macro point, which is the biggest way we give to social services and to the needs of many of us in society is through our taxes. And it seems like we kind of just assume that 25% of every check, 33% of every check, 40% of every check, depending on what income bracket you're in, just comes out, and it's okay for that to have no responsibility or accountability. That amount is in the billions. It's not a $20, it's not a dollar, it's not 50 cents, it's not $100 that you give to the person. That's in the billions that we give to the federal government to try to address and make sure that all human beings or all U.S. citizens have the basic levels of support that they need to survive. And it seems like we're not living consciously when we look at the statistics and say this is the worst time ever to be a child in the United States. 1 in 5 are growing up in extreme poverty, but we don't connect that to the fact that we're paying taxes to make sure that there is a floor that no U.S. citizen falls below. So I'd also ask us to be politically conscious in addition to being socially conscious, as so many have shared.
Wow, that's good. Thank you, caller. As you can see, there are so many different aspects and different avenues when it comes to giving. And just from all of the various callers, from all of the different backgrounds and in different locations where you're calling from, I think that everybody's able to see that when we talk about giving, again, it's not just about money. And even if you're just having a conversation about money, as our last caller just said, there's billions of dollars being given to causes that we don't even, may not even support, but yet we give it and we don't think about it. So I'm glad our caller brought that up from the political aspect, and we all have a right, and we all have a responsibility and a duty as citizens. So how can we give in that aspect? You know, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, if you want to jump in, we have to look at it and say, what is it that I need to give to? Who is it that I should be giving to? What are the causes that I should be giving to? And I'm going to say, as a minister, I'm going to say my suggestion would be to those who are believers, and consult with God and ask God those questions. Because you can come and ask me, and I may say, you know what, give to this, but that may be because that's my desire. And I think that's one of the things that happens in church a lot. We support a lot of different ministries in church that don't have no effect on the community. They may have an effect on a community in Africa. They may have an effect on a community in a third world country, quote unquote. Or they may have an effect on another community because we're giving to a theological organization. But then we never go back and question it. So I think there's a lot of work to be done in this area of giving. And we haven't even talked about giving money to the church, because I know that's what some of you have been waiting on, and that's what a lot of the conversations that I've been having with individuals have been about, giving to the church or to religious organizations and what religious organizations should be doing. And it's the same thing as our last caller just said. There is accountability that has to be made. So if we just have a mindset, or if you have the mindset of, I just gave it because I'm giving to the church, I think that it's okay and there's no accountability, and whatever the church does with it is okay because I gave it because God said it, that's the same thing that our caller is talking about with our federal government. I'm giving because they say I got to pay 25% taxes, 15 point whatever percent taxes, or 33 or 40, and just let it go. So we have a lot of things to consider. We have a lot of things that we can continue to talk about. And I want us to continue in the conversation. I want us to continue in the dialogue. One way to continue in this conversation and dialogue is on the Facebook page, as I said at the top of the hour, which is faithpossessions.resources.finances. Reach out to us. Post your comments. Post your questions, because we want the conversation to go, because we want things to change. We're not having these conversations and this dialogue just to have things as usual. We're not. So, Brother Feaster, do you have any closing comments for this evening before we sound off for the listeners?
I'm gonna try to be short because I'm still worked up because I'm really getting excited about a lot of the things that we're talking about, especially when we talk about the motivation. But you just asked a question. How do we know where to give? And you said it's for those of us that are believers, we have the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to talk to the ones out there that are not believers, not Christians as we are. I am a firm believer that we all have an inner person, our consciousness, as it said, that we listen to and tell us things. And in a lot of cases, the conscience does not lead us in the wrong direction. It tells us things that are beneficial to us. And if we would listen and adhere to that conscience, then, you know, a lot of beneficial things would have happened. And I believe that those out there that are not Christians, if you would listen to that conscience, the conscience will let you know this is the person, you know, that strong desire, regardless if you're Christian or not, is within us all. So there has to be some type of discernment, and we have to listen to that discernment. And then listen to the need that discernment, that inner being, that conscience is telling us. Because we may think it's giving food when it may be money, or we may think it's money when it may be just simple, a conversation. There's a story of somebody that felt like they were invisible, and because somebody spoke to them, this person was about to commit suicide. And because somebody spoke to them, that person did not commit suicide. So, regardless if we're Christian or not, they're the innermost being on the inside of us that lets us know when, who, and where. Thank you. It's been a great show. I am so excited. I'm like ready for another three more hours, but I understand time is a factor. So good night all.
All right. Sister Sanders, I know you're burning to give us some closing comments, something to think about as we go on and see what God wants us to do with all that has been shared with us tonight.
What I want to end on is something that we kind of touched on but didn't go into, and maybe we'll pick this up on next week. But we talked about needs and wants, and I will never forget one day at Sunday school, probably about 4 years ago, the teacher said, we have a need. And sometimes what we say is the need. And she made like a big old box, and she said with her hand, just drew a box with her hand. Our need, we may be saying that all of these things are our need. However, she said, God may say, carve out a smaller box within that box to say this is your need. And I wanted to say that to identify that sometimes even the things that we say is a need or is a necessity may not necessarily be just that. And so when we look at all that we have, all of the things that we've accomplished, all of the people that have blessed us, we can sit back and say that it was truly the real need. Maybe the other things that we, I guess, deemed as a need was in fact a need, not to downplay it. But I just really believe where it says that God will supply your every need according to his riches. I think that it's just always awesome for us to be able to identify and be able to relate like
Feaster said, that conscious part of us to say, you know what, my needs are being met. Whether it's me giving to somebody or whether I'm the one that's receiving, on the receiving end, that if I truly have a need, regardless of how many other things I may title as a need, that truly the needs that we really have are being met every day. And for some people, they have not grasped that concept, so they continue to live in poverty. They continue to have a poverty mentality. And so even when the help is there for them, they cannot receive it because they have not identified yet that truly the need that they have is trying to be met, but they're looking at all of the other things based on whatever they've gone through, based on their coping mechanisms. And so sometimes it may take a little bit longer, but I just really believe that whatever those needs are that we have, great or small, few or many, that we all have a way for our needs to be met. And I just really enjoyed tonight's show and enjoyed all of the callers that came on tonight, and I'm looking forward to next week.
Thank you so much. And I'm truly excited. I'm like you, Brother Feaster.
If JR dropped off, we just want to take this opportunity. I'll just go ahead and take this opportunity and say thank you, everyone, for calling. Thank you for everyone for, you know, coming in and pulling up a chair to the table as we talk about this giving. And as we meet here every night at Thursday, you know you always have a seat at the PRF table. Thank you. God bless you. Good night.